They claim that Jericho is the most ancient inhabited city on earth, an ancient city with an ancient legacy. If you go there today, you'll still find on the outskirts a sycamore tree. I don't know what to say. One, I was tempted to climb it because I'm short of stature. And I was looking for Jesus. I was anxious to see him. Zacchaeus, in spite of his wealth, was empty within. He was spiritually poor. And he had heard about Jesus, the word that traveled to him, but he wanted to be in his presence. You have all heard the word of God, but how many of you would make an effort to be in the presence of Jesus today? If I said to you, go home, sort out your wills, and come back to the church tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to depart planet Earth, die, and enter into eternity. How many would turn up? Oh, I don't think many would come. And yesterday at the cemetery, not many came, just a handful to pray for the dead. Why? If we're keen on the inside to be with Jesus, if we're seeking absolute perfection, intimacy, and every heartfelt longing to be fulfilled, why don't we want to go there? The only reason why we're pilgrims on earth is to get there. We're in a race. That's the goal. So why not cut it short and start today? I'll tell you why. Because we have certain creature comforts. We feel in a certain zone safe here. And we're a little bit scared of there. We just don't know, do we? We believe, but we just don't know what lies beyond. And that pulls us back. And that's why you won't come at 5 o'clock tonight. This all makes sense only within the context of the church as the body of Christ. We all have a body. In reality, unlike Facebook, we have a body that's three-dimensional, height, width, and depth. Three-dimensional. So too the church has three dimensions, earth, purgatory, and heaven. The pilgrims were on our way, the holy souls seeking to be holy earth and saints, and the saints in heaven. November is a marvelous month to pull all of the church together. Put your arms around the mystical body of Christ. And we're all connected through grace and prayer. We can't see that, but we ought to realize it. There's a real connection. If someone is sick, they can get a blood transfusion. A healthy body can make a sick body better. We are encouraged throughout November to give of our health, our spiritual health, for those who are spiritually disabled, in need of spiritual bolstering and vitamins to their soul. Who are they? The poor souls, or the holy souls. We call them holy because holy means saint, and they're saints in the making, the people who have died and are saved. It's quite simple, really. We're all alive until we die, and then the soul leaves the body, or the body leaves the soul. Which one is it? Often confused. In this life, we give the body such priority, we think we have a soul connected to our body, but when we die, we'll realize that's the wrong way to look at it. Like a glass, is it half full or half empty? When you die, you'll realize that you had a body. The soul continues. The soul is immortal. The body is mortal. Yesterday, I said three masses for the holy souls. The church encourages us to do that out of mercy and love for them. And in the opening prayer at the first mass, there's a beautiful Latin tag all about death. Death does not take us, or death it does not take our life, but rather changes our life. It's not the end of your life, but the beginning of a new life in eternity. And for those who have saved, in other words, who have chosen God in their life and die in sanctifying grace, they are a work in the making, a saint to be. But they have to become perfect. Only those who are able to reflect God in heaven, who is perfection, are able to enter into his realm. So all those people who died and are good people and yet are imperfect are what we call the holy souls, not in the place, but a state of purgation or purification we name as purgatory. They're going to be one day a saint, but they're imperfect. They have to be cleansed, purified, made holy. And that's the important point. Notice the passive verb. They can't help themselves, but we can help them. Whilst you're on earth, you can make an effort through your will to earn grace, to generate love, charity, by the works of mercy for others. Grace fosters your will, and then you do works of mercy. And when we give to others, especially without costs, we always get spiritual joy back. That's a sign that you've earned grace. When you feel good within your soul, your spiritual soul, that that's the right thing to do and you've done it, that's a moment of grace. That stops at death. Charity and grace is sealed for eternity. You can't earn grace in purgatory. That time has passed. And yet you need to be made holy. All the blemishes of your selfishness, your laziness, your pride, your arrogance, your lustfulness, all these weaknesses we have ingrained into us through original sin have to be cleansed so that we can be before God and he can see himself in us. We reflect him. That's what the beatific vision means, face to face. Whilst we are on earth, we don't have the capacity to see God. He can see us, but we are faceless here. And then those in purgatory are becoming more faithful in their vision of God because they're getting the right image within. They're being made perfect. And in doing so, will one day reflect God. So we pray for them. We spend much time offering masses for them. And during the first week in November, the first 8 days of November, we can obtain each day a plenary indulgence for someone who's died. Now, normally you obtain a plenary indulgence for yourself. But in this week of November, we can obtain one each day for someone who is deceased. Well, what if they're already in heaven, Father? Fine, if they're already there partaking of the beatific vision in utter perfection with saint before their name, then those graces that you've generated for that soul go to someone who no one is praying for, some poor soul that's been neglected. So nothing is wasted, and so we make an effort to obtain a plenary indulgence as often as possible by going to Mass, receiving communion, and then confession within a week, saying the prayers for the Pope, such as the Creed and the Our Father, and then this specific work of mercy, which is, in this week, to visit the cemetery and pray for the dead. Just going into the Wall Street Cemetery, going into the road, pulling into the side there. I've often done it. Get out of the car and say a few prayers for the dead. It only takes a minute, but that's the work of mercy. And in doing that, you can spiritually gain, through your kindness and your prayers, much assistance to those in need of purgation. And the good thing is, and this is part of the communion of saints, that one body, we're all interconnected, that when they become a saint, they won't forget you. In life, because our memory is partially attached to their body, we forget things. No? I forget things all the time. I even forget where I am at times. But the soul in purgatory, being spiritual, won't forget you. They can't forget you because the soul doesn't stop. It doesn't rest. The memory doesn't deteriorate as a biological one does in their brain. So don't forget that. And please don't, that they will acknowledge you. You've made an effort to pray for them in life, and then they become a saint. When you go into your state of purification, they will in turn pray for you. So it's a marvellous, you might say, system by which God pulls us all together as members of his spiritual family. So we don't lose heart. Those who have died, we think about them much. We pray for them during November. And as we have loved them alive, we don't forget them in death. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May these souls and all the souls of the faith of the departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.